Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Today we're going to be talking about 90 Day Fiancé Season 10, Episode 19 and 20, The Tell-All. I gave it the subtitle of Men Be Lying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so. My name's Marty, I'm here with Jen.
Hey, guys.
We're going to start with Rob and Sophie. I didn't even recognize Sophie when she first walked in. I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
She did something with her hair. It's like totally different.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good on her, but better than like the weird, I don't know, like partially bleached blonde, but with the roots showing hair with also like the fake ponytail.
Yeah,
combo.
I don't know.
Her brown looks good, but I wasn't expecting that. But.
I wasn't. I mean, she looked like a totally different person. So. Yeah. I don't know. They moved. They now live in Austin, Texas.
Yep. They have a house some kind of living situation with a bathroom.
With
inside.
A bathroom.
Yes.
She wore them down, apparently. So, yeah. The only one that defended like Rob's online cheating, interestingly enough, was Igor.
Yeah. Which
surprise.
Yeah. I don't think that's quite a shock. I did notice that. So we've talked about Rob being a narcissist like throughout the whole season, right? And,
right.
And his very strong narcissistic tendencies. And narcissists, they stem from, they basically are very insecure people and they have a great deal of emotional pain and emotional wounds within.
Yeah.
That, and it's kind of like getting gonorrhea and then being allergic to the cure for it. You know, it's kind of like narcissism, you can be helped, you can have a cure, but you're allergic to it because
right.
It's admitting there's something wrong with you. But anyway,
basically.
You know, quote unquote wrong, right? But that you have wounds to fix. But from my experience with several very strong narcissists over my lifetime, there's a look within their eyes where you can actually, and I can, I don't know about you, but like kind of after my mom passed, it's like you can see this like look of pain in people's eyes, at least I can. And Rob has that look all through the tell-all, like kind of this like, it's like a weird flicker or like glimmer in the eyes where
right.
It's like you can just kind of tell like there's a lot of pain behind those eyes. And that was just something that I noticed out of Rob. And I kind of, I don't want to say I felt bad for him, but at the same time, I feel bad when you can tell people are really hurting.
You can feel bad for him and then also still think he's been a shithead.
Yeah. It's like, you dude,
know,
if you get
like,
pain.
Like, I feel bad for him for that aspect.
Yeah.
You
it's
know.
Like, man, if you get pain back there, like, you know.
It's on you to fix it.
Yeah. Like, know. What do they say? It's not your fault what happened to you. It's your fault for if you stay fucked up. Or it's not your fault if you are fucked up, but it's your fault if you stay fucked
stay
up.
Stay fucked up.
Or what
you know.
Fuck. You guys get it. Whatever.
Right. So, and they were talking about, you know, the online cheating shit and like jacking off the porn. To me, isn't cheating, but
right.
Doing that extra step of like communicating with someone.
Yeah, and that was what was shitty.
That's
his defense is that like he's trying to equate it to porn because he doesn't like know the person. But it's like no. It like a personal conversation like through DMs or WhatsApp or whatever it was. Like you didn't go to Pornhub.com and search or whatever the fuck. However you find porn these days. Like you didn't do that.
You don't act like you don't know.
I don't, but that's a whole nother,
yeah.
Whatever, that whole nother topic. But anyway, it's not like you just, you know, there's this no, it's like not personal at all. Like the person, the video you're watching, they don't even know you. They don't know you're watching. You know what I mean?
Right.
Versus like you're chatting back and forth with like an actual person with an actual face and they're talking to you.
It's a level of personal.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
It's
yeah,
like it's
so.
A specific person. It's not you just somewhere on the internet watching some random clip or looking at a picture of titties from some unknown
person. Someone you'll never ever be in contact with. So
yeah,
but you know, at least Rob claims, and I don't know, I guess I believe him, that once the visa was like approved, he never did that like again. I was like, okay, I guess,
but
there's
there was an awfully long pause though when
I
they asked him, did you ever do like, have you been good since, and like a very long pause. So I feel like there's some more shit there that they both have maybe agreed they're not going to talk about it.
Maybe, I don't know, but I mean that's what he claims. So,
but it's still like, it's like people I know who, before I learned even more though, it's like I knew someone who up until his marriage said, oh, whatever I do before marriage doesn't count. And once I'm married and swear to God, that's when it counts. And it's like, no, because if you're talking to
and then
banging
he just
other
women,
anyway, then
so.
He kept doing it. Yeah. It's like when you're banging and talking to different women, when you're dating and in an exclusive relationship and engaged, like, no, things you do count, buddy. You know, like if like I should get a say in that, right? Because we're exclusive. Yeah. I mean, so
if you're in a what's supposed to be an exclusive, you know, at least one person thinks it's exclusive, then it counts. It just counts.
Yep. And so. Yeah, it's, I mean, and this was not the guy, by the way, guys, that I dated, but it was his brother. So, yeah, so. You know, cheated all the way up to marriage and then continued.
And then
to
some.
Do so.
Yep.
Yes.
So, Rob did that really red flaggy abusive thing where like people would ask Sophie a question, he would answer for her.
I got a little triggered by that because it's a very, very telltale sign of abuse, of at least emotional abuse and quite possibly
controlling the narrative, you know?
Yeah, like you're going to answer before she gets a chance to say some shit that you're not going to like.
So Sophie's mom definitely like recently had some work done before she got on that show.
Yeah.
Well, I won't say definitely, but it seems like she
her face looked different again.
And she spoke, the way she was speaking is like she had a mouthful of marbles.
But she kind of always seems like that, though.
No, it was really bad, though, in the tell-all. It was worse than the tell-all.
Maybe.
It was bad. And also, mom, despite the changes Rob has made recently, doesn't think any higher of Rob, of course.
Yep, of course.
I'm kind of like, I'm not on Rob's side necessarily. I think they're just shitty and disrespectful to each other.
Yeah.
And they both have blame for this.
And I think that it goes, like, Rob's defensiveness to, like, okay, so Claire is shitty to Rob. That's fact.
Yeah.
I like, even if you're not a narcissist like Rob the Knob is, like, she is shitty to him as a person. And, I also, like, you can see when Rob starts getting upset at basically everybody's yelling at him that he's not doing good enough, right? Like he didn't have enough money. He didn't have the right job. He didn't have the right place to live. And like, that's really triggering for narcissists to take criticism.
But you know, even a regular person though, that will wear on you.
That was my point is like you could see him getting activated with the criticism and trying to deflect some shit and whatever. But also, Claire was being shitty in general because again, I don't think anybody, narcissist or not, enjoys hearing about all the ways they are not doing good enough or they're fucking up.
They're not a man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that anybody, honestly, would be good enough for Sophie as far as Claire is concerned.
Unless it's like a very obvious, like, rich
I think
Hollywood,
she would find. I think
guy.
She would find an issue. I think she would find issue.
I think as long as Sophie was with like a really, really rich man and living a really, really rich life, I think she'd be fine.
No, I don't think so. I think Claire is one of these people that will find the cloud around any silver lining. She will find issue with this person because no one's good enough for my daughter, and because that's a narcissist thing too. Like their child is part of them, so they're almost like a narcissist by proxy, and nobody's going to be good enough. No one can treat her right. And Sophie is like super naive about it and thinks that mom would be reasonable, but it's like, I'm not buying it, dude. I'm just not buying it.
I'll agree to disagree. I think that if Sophie was with a really, really well-off man, Claire would have nothing to say.
Yeah, but I mean, like, well, what makes you think that, though?
Because Claire comes from living that way. She comes from money. She comes from being with people that have money.
So she's probably not impressed by money.
So, well, I think she is. I think because that's how they both lived, and even Sophie, like, being
I've
very well.
I've known people like that.
I
don't think anyone's good enough. I think it's one. Some of these people
disagree.
Are like that.
Well, agree.
Some people are just like that, and I think that they both Rob and Claire, they both want to fight. And they're both willing to fight dirty. You know what I mean? And because Rob feels like emasculated by Claire, and Claire just tries to emasculate Rob, you know? Yep. And it's like they're both just nasty to each other.
Yeah. I
and
agree.
It's like you're both just shit. Don't you both shut up? Yep. So I think the only, really the only way that Claire would love Rob or like him a lot more,
if he had money,
if she could walk all over him and he didn't fight back. But she says shit to him, says shit. And then he says, you know, being a narcissist and being kind of fragile in that way is like, hey, fuck you. How dare you? And then she's like, oh, you know, and then she gets shitty back, right? And just escalates and escalates and escalates. I think if she was allowed to sort of walk all over him, he was one of these fucking, like, you know, pushovers, she'd be a lot, she wouldn't respect him, but she would feel a lot better about him.
If Rob had a lot of money and then therefore took care of somewhat financially even Claire, and like whenever Claire would kind of give
some
shit.
Then it'll be, he works too much. He never pays any attention to you. He's not at home with you enough. He's out working all the time.
I disagree.
No,
I think if anybody had money, she'd be all right with it.
And I think it's like Claire's the type of person that would be really disrespectful to Rob. And then would be shocked when Rob like claps back and is like, well, what about you? What the fuck? Why are you giving me shit? You know what I mean? She's just that person. And I don't know. I don't like it. And actually, some of the other cast members were defending Rob, like when it comes to Claire specifically, right? Because it does seem like there's oftentimes she kind of starts it. Honestly, I think she starts in on him a lot.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's her issues seem to be rooted in money with Rob, that he's doesn't
well,
have
well, that's
because
Rob, that's big. That's Rob's most obvious flaw. If it wasn't the money, it would be, oh, he doesn't do this right. He doesn't do that right. It would just be whatever the next flaw is the biggest deal. I don't think anyone's going to be is good enough, you know? So, and I don't think Claire or Sophie appreciate or acknowledge the work that Rob has put in. At least they have not
made that
very obvious.
I think that comes from their pretty privileged life so far of them having money. And like Rob has said in the past, like none of you had to start at the bottom. So I think, again, that's rooted in
and I think there's, I think
them just
there's
not thinking
truth
he's done
that,
good enough because they're, you know, they're used to something different.
As shitty and like narcissistic as he is, you know, I think there is some truth to that. Like it's really easy for you to criticize me, but you haven't actually seen what I've done, the things I have put in to do, you know. Yep. So, I don't know. Like, partners are supposed to, like, support each other. You know, it's like, that's, like, the standard, right? But, I don't know. And it's like, you know, at the same time, like, and also, on the other side, it's like, partners just support each other in the same sense that's like, you know, yeah, of course you did all this work. You're supposed to do all this work because we're partners. You're supposed to, you know, bring me over and do this, right? But there's nothing wrong with saying to somebody, I appreciate you and, like, you know, but, like, actually verbalize it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, I don't know. How about Ashley and Manuel? They do bedroom witchy stuff, sex magic. Blood Sugar Baby is sex magic.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested.
I don't know if I'm into the dick candles with the jizz and all that.
Oh yeah, that part. No. Like, I think I side with Igor on like having like a dick shaped candle would be cool.
That's fine.
But I'm not gonna preserve your semen and put it on
how wonderful.
Anything really after
your apartment
the fact?
Smells like burning jizz. That's
yeah,
great.
That was my first thought. What does burning semen smell like? I don't want to know.
I'm cool. I'm okay with dying, not knowing what that smells like. So
agreed.
We got to recap the time they fucked in a public toilet. So,
yep. I didn't care for that the first time, nor did I care for it the second time.
Yeah, no, I think I liked it even less the second time.
I wish they brought out Manuel's friend as like a guest to like speak on how he felt about that.
Yeah,
moment.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
But they never have like good, for me, most of the time when they bring like special guests or whatever, you know, out, it's like a complete waste of time. They never do good ones.
They're okay, or even they'll bring out good ones, but then the good ones don't really say much, don't really do much.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, sex to work, using sex to work out your issues, and then never actually like communicating and talking about what the issue is.
Yeah,
I guess not gonna work. Like, that's pretty much what Ashley's mom and sister said. You know, they don't trust Manuel, and
yeah,
I don't know. She made some good points. Like, you guys don't even fucking talk. You just fuck and fight, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's like, I mean, I guess they do something because like there's couples that like have problems with each other, and they just kind of both go, or like one will go like super passive aggressive and never talk about it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you can fight and you can fuck, but you can also be a couple that like you don't really fuck and you also like don't fight. But like those are kind of, to me, the red flaggy ones. So, like, if you don't fight sometimes with your spouse, because that to me means somebody has some shit pent up and they just can't communicate it.
Yeah.
So I guess at least they're banging, and maybe they talk about it in like some kind of kinky dirty way while they're banging. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe the sex magic, the lighting the semen on fire works for him.
But
I don't
it doesn't
know.
Seem like it's working because
they
fight so much.
They do need to have conversations.
You know?
So.
I don't know. And we'll mom see. Made a really good point, like how quickly he was able to just kind of like leave his kids, and not even like talk to them or anything. And it's like,
that is red flaggy.
Well, it's like if you and Ashley have a kid, are you gonna do the same thing? Like,
yeah,
I think that's kind of a. I think she makes a point, like, you know.
Yeah.
So. Like, you know, he came here on a lie. He's so easily lied to his immediate family. So what is he hiding from Ashley? It's like, that's a reasonable way to think, you know, honestly. Yeah. And it's like, that's really serious shit to lie about, too.
And that's kind of like later on when Clayton's sister, I forget her name.
Brandy.
Brandy. Like, later on, she says, like, if you're hiding me, what else are you hiding? So, like, kind of the same question. Like, you're hiding that you're moving to America for a woman, you know, from your kids. And like, what else are like you hiding or willing to hide?
Not like a little white lie. Yeah. It's not like, oh, you look great in that. You know, no, that's a big lie.
And then they kind of try to justify it later as like, not that specifically, but like when they say that Latin families are very, very scary no matter what age you are. And it's like,
Ashley's Manuel's excuse was like, didn't even make sense.
Yeah. She's like, he didn't lie, but he actually lied though.
Well, he had to leave a lot sooner than we expected. And it's like, dude, it takes 2 seconds to call someone.
It takes 2 seconds for a phone call.
You didn't tell them the whole time, like, my plan is to go to America.
Right.
Like they're not aware of this.
They should have had a heads up that, hey, this is what's in the mix.
Like, months away. Yeah. They should have known it for a long time.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing where, like, you didn't have a chance to let them know. Like, no.
Yeah, no, it's bullshit, dude.
Yeah.
And, like, he compartmentalized so much of his life and just, like, didn't, like, she was, like, she didn't know him. You know what I mean? Like they've been engaged. They've been together for like a couple of years or whatever. And she's like, she hardly knows this guy.
Yeah.
He wouldn't tell her anything.
Yep. And then all the stuff with giving money to his family and how like both
even
of them
Ashley's
are.
Even Ashley's mom was sending money to the family.
And that, again, like that's what we talked about before. Like when this was like kind of happening during the season was that like there was no agreement ahead of time. Like Manuel didn't tell Ashley, hey, once I'm there, you're going to have to give X amount of money to my family. And, you know, and so it's like now he's gotten the mom to do it too, and it's just
and it's like I understand his position in the sense that he's like I'm the patriarch of the family, I'm the one that handles everything, I don't really rely on other people, I don't want to burden other people. Well, first of all, I don't buy that aspect because he was more than willing to burden Ashley, but being the patriarch in the sense that like that's why I'm sending money back to them because I'm the one that works, I'm the worker bee of the family, whatever. But
Well, I think
ends when you leave, dude.
Yeah, and I think mom brought this point up too about how like, you know, like that's all fine, whatever, you got to send some money back, but like you're not working, and then for you to turn around and like chastise her daughter for buying a coffee, and you know, it's like somebody it's like okay, if she's paying all your bills, bro, including supporting your kids at home, then, you know, then let her get her $7 Starbucks coffee with
seriously.
No comment is allowed on that at that point. So
right. They did this weird thing that they must be testing the waters with it. They did like viewer submitted questions, and those were mostly fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But they did like a video one of the weirdest fucking people I've ever seen in my life.
They were all just
strange.
Like, it would be better. They should have like a segment where they read like funniest tweets or something. You know, like that would be better. Good. Not like you pick two random people to ask a question.
But even the funniest tweets are probably going to be dumb. Yeah. Like, they're not going to actually be the funniest because the actual funniest tweets are going to be brutal. you know what I mean? But they'll never be brutal.
Yep.
So I don't know. They wanted to know if like Clayton ate guinea pig and he was all like bothered by that idea. I was like, oh, stop it.
Yeah. And I mean, and I don't know. That was kind of a waste of a question because they covered that also in the season.
Didn't they already talk about that? Yeah.
And I don't know. And I almost think it's kind of rude. Like you're asking the question because you think it's like weird to eat guinea pig, but like that's kind of insulting, I think, to Annalie.
Like it's insulting, in different, like in multiple ways.
Yeah,
it's so insulting like, Annalie, and it's insulting the Clayton. It's like,
yeah,
come on.
There were better questions on the internet, however they submitted them or whatever, than that.
Like you didn't want to know more about mom in the closet, and like, you know, did mom hear you guys fuck at any point?
Yeah,
like,
or
what
like
happened?
What happened in mom's life that made her land in the closet? How did that happen?
Yeah, why is she okay with living in the closet?
Yeah.
So I don't know. We also learned that Jasmine is bi and wants to fuck Nikki. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Good for Jasmine.
I don't know. Would she bring Nikki in with her and like Gino? Probably not. She probably would fuck Nikki like on her own, and Gino can go jack off in a corner or
you
something.
Could, like, sit in a chair in the corner.
Yeah,
or
she's too jealous for
that. I just kind of pictured like Nikki and Jasmine's like boobs rubbing together, making that squeaky sound like two balloons.
Like
if you rub balloons together,
right.
You know. I can't imitate it, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, how about Gino and Jasmine? I don't know who brought this up, but it was actually kind of funny that the ass implant cost $10,000, so it's $5,000 per cheek.
Yeah.
That's expensive, man. When you kind of break it down like that.
I wonder if people... Yeah. Yeah. Who was it? Was it Sam that we really got it? That he really got into like the cost of it. Like, and was
like
holy
shit. Yeah.
Like,
I know.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could, if I wanted to today, go and get ass plants, But, like, I'm not going to spend my money on that. Like, it's that, yeah. Like Sam said, that's a lot of, well, lot of money, at least man. For me, that's a lot of money. That would still be, I could afford it today. I could walk out of here and go get ass plants. But, like, that's a lot of money for me. Like, I would hope nothing bad happens. I'd hope my car's tires don't blow out or something anytime soon.
It's,
you know, like, what I mean? It's like, I'm not gonna have, like, I don't know, 2 flat tires and I have to buy two new tires and I can't because
you bounce your way there on your ass.
Right, yeah, because of my ass plants.
Yeah,
like,
right.
But, I mean, I guess if you have, like, men that make money or whatever, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to let a guy buy me ass plants either. I'd have to do it alone on my own money. Because I'd feel like I'm forever indebted to you with my ass.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I can't.
I don't know. And so, you know, obviously we talked about the Dane situation, and Rob made a good point about Jasmine when she talks about how there's nothing between her and Dane, but when she gets mad, she's like, she's talking about how she's fucking Dane.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, come on. You
yeah,
can't,
and you and then you can't be mad at Gino for thinking or suspecting or being insecure that there's something going on
here. You can't unring a bell.
Yeah.
And when you say that shit, people are going to remember it and be like, wait, what?
And Gino even mentions that, like, the way she treats him has an impact on their sex. And, like,
right. And his sex life is still fucked up.
Yep. And because, I mean, if all she does is talk about how great, you know, Dane was and how the way he fucked her and this and that, like, yeah, he doesn't really feel like doing it. And that was, like, you know, like, I've been in that situation before, like, not in exactly the same kind of manner, but just, like, the way people treat you does have an impact on if you want to sleep with them. Like, my ex treated me terribly, and I almost never wanted to touch him because, like, I'm just so not into it. Like, because you make me so miserable all the time. How can I be enthusiastic about, like, wanting to touch you if, like, you treat me like garbage all the other time?
Yeah, it's not exactly a turn on.
Yeah, like, you piss me off and make me miserable, not excited. So, you know what I mean? What can you do? So I understand where Gino's coming from with feeling that way, and
maybe she's confused because maybe she's been with dudes, because some dudes want to be, like, abused.
Yeah,
and maybe, like, that's, like, what she's dominated used to. Yeah. Maybe it's that type of thing, but I think Gina's kind of made it clear that he's not that guy.
Yeah,
right?
He's told her several times now that, you know, the way she treats him has an impact on his sex drive. And I mean, he is an older man, so, you know, I mean, and we've seen the blue pill thing, and it's like,
right,
I don't know. I think that there is some psychological stuff to sex and whether or not you want to do it. And if just like if you have a shitty day at work or whatever, a lot of people, and it's kind of interesting because there are people that are, when they get really stressed out, sometimes sex helps them. And then, but other people, when they get really stressed out, they don't want, their sex drive drops. So it's like, there's two different categories of people out there.
Yeah. And I think it's contextual too. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, what are you actually stressed out about? Like, if I had a rough day, like, I don't know, if I had a rough day at work, that little serotonin boost might do me some good. But if I had a rough day because we were arguing all day, that might not be so.
Yeah, like, we fought all day. Now have sex with me. Like, kind of don't want to look at you right now.
It's situational, right?
You know?
So, but I don't like that, like, you know, whenever Jasmine does something fucked up and Gino also does something fucked up, Jasmine will try to find these, like, little weird reasons why it's not the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, to differentiate it, like, oh yeah, I had a stripper dancing on me, but, like, I wasn't at a strip club. It's like, oh, is that the difference? Is that what makes it okay?
Right.
Like, is it the actual club, the venue itself?
Right.
Because I feel like if something's going to go down, it's more likely to go down in, like, a private party than a strip club.
Yeah.
People aren't fucking at strip clubs.
I agree. And again, she's allowed to have a stripper or, you know, a bachelorette party or whatever, but, you know, Gino's not. But, you know, maybe it does have to do with, like, Gino revealed at some point that his ex was a stripper or worked at a strip club doing something, and maybe that makes it extra, but...
You know what? Honestly, for how much we've seen Jasmine and her reactions to everything, I don't know that it would matter.
Yeah, I think it... I mean, and I actually thought about back when we first saw whatever the first show and first season these two guys were on was, or like, when he had to FaceTime or whatever, Jasmine is going to pick up his food. And so it's like, you know, he can't even talk to the hostess at a restaurant without it being a problem. So,
yeah, so
it didn't matter that... It certainly didn't help that it was a stripper topless hugging him. But,
well,
you know.
Sure, and I don't think any woman wants to see her dude hugging a topless woman, but...
That's I thought about that, too. It's like, you know, I wouldn't, well, I mean, I would assume that, like, the person that I'm with, I, like, trust you, and I don't think, like, you're a piece of shit and doing everything to be terrible right. behind the scenes. But, like, it's like, I would be all right with the right kind of guy, you know, going to a strip club, having his bachelor party, right? But,
yeah.
like, I still would not want to see footage of it later on.
I wouldn't want to see it. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Unless it was, like, a really, like, obnoxious kind of setting. Like, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want to see your, like, I don't know. The strippers were dressed up like, I don't know, like Teletubbies or, you know, something weird.
I don't know.
Like, you know, like, where it's just, it's funny. Like, I'd maybe want to see that. But even
yeah.
then, probably
but
not.
It's like, but even when you see the footage, Gino's so awkward and
yeah.
his family's there. It's like, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like you said, he didn't go in the VIP room and
no.
things like that. He was with his family most of the time.
And like, you can tell he didn't know what to do with his hands. Like, he's
yeah.
just, he's a weird, awkward guy. Like, nothing was happening there.
Yeah.
And we got to talk to one of the strippers from the club. And she said the same thing. Like, he was more interested in kind of hanging out with his family than really the girls themselves. But Jasmine fucking loses it, walks off stage, and I hate Jasmine's cry.
Yeah.
It's so...
That, like, cry scream.
Oh, my God. It's so over the top.
Yeah. It's like the baby, like, wah! Like, that's what it is, like, wah!
Oh, my
it
God.
Just
it's
grows.
Just, it's like... It screams like psychological damage because
yeah.
it's like normal people don't cry like that. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it's too much.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like, it's as obnoxious and over the top as like Ashley's because you know how obnoxious Ashley can be when she cries.
Yeah.
Jasmine's even worse.
And it's just crazy to me how she can go off stage and like everybody's sitting there on the stage and you hear her freaking out and screaming and everything. And then like 5 minutes later, she walks back like, oh, I'm sorry, and sits down.
That's
and
what I mean. It's like, what
it's
the
it's weird.
It's dramatic. I think it's a little put on.
Yeah.
It's too dramatic. Like, how can you cool off that quickly
yeah.
and just be fine.
I agree. I don't know. I thought it was nice of Nikki, though, all things considered, that, you know, she was being, like, supportive and that
right.
like, supportive girlfriend, you
and,
know, kind of role.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and Gino's, like, not even affected by it anymore.
No,
he says this happens all the time. Yeah. It loses its power if you just do that all the time. Because
yeah.
that's the thing. That's her. She has the same reaction to him hugging strippers as to him, you know, I don't know. Forgetting to walk the dog. Like, it's
yeah.
just, it's, she only has 1 and 11. Like,
yeah.
those are too, it's too much. You know, and I think they're kind of in the same, like, Angela Michael zone.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, it's like, no wonder he fucking lies. Because it's like, if he lies and gets away with it, then, hey, he got away with it. But if he did it or lied about it and got caught, it's the same reaction either
yeah.
way. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's like, I don't know. And just, you can hear her screaming from backstage.
Yeah.
Like, this is Gino's life. So, I don't know. And then, you know, then that's when they start talking about, like, oh, you used to date a dancer. It's like,
yeah. And I thought that bringing the stripper on the video was, again, stupid. Like, useless. Like, just, why is she here? What is this contributing? Like,
right.
verifying he went to the strip club, we saw the video already. And then they get the whole lip gloss deal. And
yeah,
I,
that was crazy.
And
too.
I was just like, this is boring. Like, we've already
yeah.
talked about this. We already saw her flip out about this. And then her, rehashing all the same stuff, and I was
yeah.
just like, I wanted to fast forward through it. I was just kind of
right,
kind of done with it.
And the thing, bringing out the stripper would have been more effective if Jasmine was like there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, because basically what she said is like, nothing happened. He was like, he was actually kind of awkward and weird, and he wasn't really interested in the strippers. It was,
yeah.
and it's like, if Jasmine could control herself a little bit more, control her emotions a little more. Maybe it would have made her feel better to be like, oh, well, he wasn't even really that into it, right?
Yeah. And even, I felt like a lot of this tell-all was them trying almost too hard to try to be, like, spill the tea and be you know, dramatic and bringing the stripper on and all the stuff like that. And it's like, you know, Gino... You're going to fry him with this never-before-seen footage of him being at the strip club.
Exactly.
And then we're going to talk about the lip gloss again. And then we're going to bring the stripper on the camera and talk about the stripper and have her talk to Jasmine. And, like,
right.
you know, like, you're purposely trying to, whether it's Jasmine putting it on a little bit or not, like, you're purposely trying to upset Jasmine and get this classic Jasmine
right.
Gino reaction explosion, and it's just
right.
like, save it, man. We've seen this, and it just
I don't know.
There were other things you could have talked about and sort of highlighted than this stuff. Like, we're, I don't know. I thought I was just trying too hard in, like, the wrong kind of way. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, you know, I know you gotta hype your, like, tell-all up and everything, but it's like, you can't keep using the same motif. It's not gonna work every time.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I don't know. They can't exactly say, like, tune in next time, it's gonna be boring as shit. You know what I mean? Like, right. I don't know.
I just think, like, again, and they've done this a lot, too. Like, bring out a family member of Geno's to talk, you know, I don't know. Just something where there's other things you could have talked about than...
We should have brought out Dane. Where the fuck was Dane? Yeah,
Dane
should have brought him out.
Let's bring him out and talk to him about how he gave this money for these ass cheeks. Like, that would have been better than listening. Because I feel like we already had enough of an explosion about the strip club when she found out about it, whatever episode.
I mean, let her blow up a little bit. But speaking of Jasmine, like, just kind of getting a reaction out of Jasmine, how about the fucking letter she brought and, like, read?
Yeah, what even was that?
Like, left on her porch. It's like, that is bullshit. I thought it was total bullshit.
Like a typed letter with some panties. Exactly.
And, you know, it being typed, like, someone brought it up, like, it being typed, like, maybe you know the person, you would recognize their handwriting, but I think it was a dude.
Probably.
Because you can tell a dude's handwriting versus a woman's handwriting.
Or it was even made the shit up. Because even the way she walked in, it was like she was a bad actress, like trying to read, "Well, I want you to know what's going on in my house." And it's just, I don't know. It seemed all phony to me.
I don't know. Maybe.
Staged. I don't know. I was just kind of rolling my eyes.
I don't know. She can be very, like, dramatic and shit, right?
Yeah.
But if it is a troll, like, you're just feeding the trolls by even bringing this up. Like, I don't know. That's another reason to have better control over your emotions, because it's like people know how to get you. Mm-hmm. They know how to get your goat and then get you all fucking wound up and shit.
Yep. Like that reverse psychology. She just acted like, oh, whatever, threw it in the trash, then it would stop. But
no one would ever do it. Now it's never going to end.
Yeah. She's going to get panties every week.
Every week someone's going to say, hey, I fucked Gina last week. And, you know, and she'll fucking believe it and freak out and scream. And, you know, so she's fucked. She fucked up.
Yeah.
How about Nikki and Igor?
I'm just over them too. Like, they're together, they're not together, they're together, they're not together. Yeah. He's not attracted to her, but then they're together again, and then they're not together, and it's exhausting. Even if they started out at the tell all not together, then they were engaged again, then they were not together, and it's just like
I don't care.
Don't care.
I don't care. And I don't know, Justin, I guess we got to see his perspective, that they were just constantly fighting and, like, it was making him sick and da-da-da-da. That's valid, but it's like, you can video call her. Like, I don't buy this shit. It's like, well, you know, I'm more comfortable speaking in Russian and da-da-da-da. It's like...
Yeah.
Read a script.
Yeah, she deserved more than a text message. And a lot of their fights was, I mean, I can... And again, like, him just kind of deflecting. Like, ultimately, he wasn't attracted to her. And he wouldn't just say it. And he let her on because maybe he likes her as the person she is. And then when he found out she was trans, that fucked him up. But it's like, you got to come clean about it. And if it's not working, it's not working.
Yeah.
And it's just unfair to keep stringing her along. And so, and women, at least women, we can pick up on that. We can pick up to sound like such a millennial, Gen X, whatever, like, we can feel your vibes. We can feel when you're being weird.
Right.
And that creates not insecurity, but just when you know something's off, it makes you off and uncomfortable.
Sure.
And you want to talk about it, and you should be able to talk about it. Like, hey, things feel kind of weird. What's going on? And get the truth from it. And it's like, so that's kind of, from my perspective anyway, how a lot of their fight started, was from her being like, hey, shit feels weird. What's going on? You won't have sex with me. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then it's these big explosive fights. And she also does go from like 1 to 11 too. And she acknowledges it, which doesn't help. But Igor being so weird with her doesn't help her either.
I guess I feel like she's a little bit more valid in her explosions, explosive emotional shit, versus Jasmine, because Igor's actually doing some pretty fucked up shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas Gino's like, I don't know, it's like he can fart in the wrong direction.
Right.
This is it.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know. I feel like Igor wants to keep her around. It could only be one of two reasons, and I'm pretty certain which reason it is. Either A, he's not really into her, but he wants her to keep paying for shit.
Yeah.
That's probably it. 99%, that's probably it. The only other one is like, he doesn't want her, but he doesn't want someone else to be with her, and it's like a control thing.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like a little bit of that going on, but I think it's mostly like he just wants her to pay for shit.
Yeah. And and probably the second thing probably goes into the first one, because if somebody else gets her, she's not going to pay for his shit if she now has another person to maybe pay for or
not
whatever.
Have two sugar babies. Yeah. That's an amateur move, you know? Yeah. So I liked when Ashley kind of went in on Justin a little bit.
Yeah.
And was like asking him point blank questions, like direct. And then he tried to laugh it off, like, oh, go play with your candles, you fuck, or whatever. And she just like, she didn't go for the bait.
Yeah.
She kept it right exactly where she wanted. She kept asking him and asking him. And he never really answered, but
yeah, I was pretty annoyed at that scene, because he was so like textbook clearly deflecting and avoiding the question. And it's a very clear question. Are you with her or not?
Right.
And him just candles and this and that. And she's just like, answer the question.
Right.
And that's what's fucked up, because men will act like that all the time, the way Igor did. And women will try to stay on point and be direct. You know, answer the question. I asked you a very specific question, just answer the question. And they want to do that word salad and dance around it with every other topic. And it's like, then women, anybody would gradually, naturally start getting more and more agitated and upset.
Right.
And then once you act, quote, crazy by raising your voice, or even if your volume naturally rises as you get upset, which happens to most people.
Sure.
You're crazy now.
Oh, now you're crazy.
And now you're being crazy. Oh, you're being crazy. I can't handle you. Right. I can't talk to you because you're crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, motherfucker, if you answered this 12 times ago, we wouldn't be here.
You're making me crazy.
Yeah, and that's the strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the strategy.
No, it is. It is. No, it really is. Yeah. But I thought Nikki handled that like a pro. Like, she wasn't going for it.
Yep.
She just, you know. And Nikki's mom came out, and she's mad. And
again, another kind of pointless, like, she came out to ask, like, do you love my daughter? Like, you know.
We already know, buddy. It's not really like, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, he was doing these, like, weird anti-trans microaggressions. I think that's what you call them, microaggressions.
I think, maybe.
Where it's like, oh, she's not acting ladylike. And she's got man vibes.
And then Ashley, again, called him out. Like, you're being really disrespectful. And, you know, she's a woman. Stop, you know, trying to call her a man, basically.
Right.
Like, and it's who was it? I think it was Jasmine that said that, like, you don't have to be like a man to be assertive or to be confident or to, or whatever. Like, I think it was Jasmine that said it. It's like,
it
doesn't make you masculine because you stand up for yourself. It makes you a person with boundaries or a backbone. Like, you don't have to, you don't become a man all of a sudden because you have a voice. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that was where Igor was like, oh, American women don't know how to respect men. And it's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I bet that's what it is. Yeah, okay.
You Neanderthal.
But you know what? I don't know. I don't have an enormous amount of faith in Nikki, because I feel like if he calls her off, like off camera, he'll get her back in where he wants her to be.
Even the fact that she wouldn't agree to, like, when they're like,
cancel
what are you gonna do? Or what's it gonna take for you to cancel the visa? And she's like, I don't know. Like, really, the whole past 10 minutes of conversation doesn't answer that for you?
Yeah.
But that's, I'm assuming there's, like, you know, some level of emotional abuse or some kind of trauma bond there where, like, she can't leave him. Yeah,
right.
Unfortunately, it hasn't gotten to her breaking point yet.
Right. Like, she's probably in that same, like, insecure zone where it's like, well, I probably won't be able to find anybody else. It's like,
nah,
you'll be able to find plenty. You're on this show, you'll find plenty.
Yeah. Or, like, if this... like, she still loves him, and, you know, they always work it out. But that's the trauma bond. It's like, things break. Even when you break up, you end up back together. And so you get used to, well, this is normal. We break up, we get back. We have a fight, we get back together, and the cycle keeps continuing. And, like, so for her, she's still stuck in that loop of where, okay, they broke up today again, but I'm going to keep the visa going, because what if right before the visa gets approved, he wants to be with me again. I don't want to cancel it because then, oh no, we have to start all over. So, but that's that trauma bond that she's in.
Yeah. And that's what I said, man. This goes hand in hand with the shit I've been saying for a long time. You don't need closure.
No.
You just don't.
And you know, and you can make your own closure. You decide. Your own closure. Yeah. I'm not talking to this motherfucker anymore. I'm blocking him. There you gone. Go. That's your closure.
That's your closure. That's
your
closed.
Closure. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think she's in that closure zone. It's like, well, I gotta know, like I gotta find out, like I gotta see this out to the end. I gotta No, you don't, just be done.
And
who cares?
She's just unfortunately not quite ready to close that door herself. And that's like the tricky thing, because it's like you can close, like there's that line from the show You, where you know, I won't spoil it, but there's a note for anybody that hasn't watched it yet, one of the seasons, but there's like a note where one of the characters says, you know, you can get off the hamster wheel at any time. And it's, but like, when you start factoring in the manipulation and the gaslighting and all those tactics that fall under emotional abuse, you get that trauma bond and you know, I need to leave, you know, it's not good, but you're still like, but maybe, you know, and you just, you got to get to that point on your own. And sometimes it can take a minute to get there, but Nikki is just not, she's not there yet.
She's not there yet. So I doubt that she's done. Yeah. And Igor's probably done until he needs, like, I don't know, gas money or something. then he'll be back in.
And it's like, and Nikki was the one that actually loved him. And it's hard when you're the person that actually had genuine feelings.
That's why it's sad.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like you actually cared for them. She actually cared for Igor. And he probably never did. And it's just kind of, you know, it's hard to come to terms with that too, you know, and just kind of admit defeat and be like, oh, especially for Nikki, all these years, like 20 years or whatever, have been for nothing. And for a guy that doesn't really care about you, that's got to be devastating to.
I'm sure it is. On. Yeah. You know, I don't know. It's fucked up. What's his name is fucked up. Igor. So Igor's fucked up. How about Sam and Citra? So Citra done got a bun in the oven.
Yep,
which
that
is
was
quick.
I was gonna say that was quick.
Oh boy, but I guess that's cool and everything. I don't know.
I love the way that Sam talks about Citra. Like later on, like he says that I don't know. I think they're clowning him about how much they have sex or whatever, and he's like, and they talk about the whole, which I'm sure, like the whole like cheating or whatever he did. But he's just like, you know, the best thing in the world is being with her. And I love the way he talks about Citra and the relationship.
Yeah,
that's all.
For sure. And it's, but it feels genuine. Like, you know, some guys will say whatever, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it feels like a bunch of shit. Yeah.
It just feels like he means it, you know, so I don't know. And I can relate with Sam when he's talking about, like, being a dad doesn't feel real until you hear the heartbeat for the first time. Because, like, up until that moment, you're like, oh, this could just be hard gas. I don't know. Well, who knows? But then you hear it, you're like, holy shit, there's a person in there.
Unless your fart has a heartbeat.
Unless your fart's got a heartbeat. Ooh, boy. White Castle does sound kind of good right now.
Ew.
So Sam made it to the deferment program.
He did.
He doesn't have to go to jail.
No.
So,
only if he doesn't fuck up for a year.
Yeah. Well, a year's a long time.
I was going to say, that's a long time. And then I look back, I'm like, well, I mean, I haven't been in trouble since, and minor trouble as like a teen, like, and not even actually like real legal cops trouble, but like, you know, like I haven't been in any kind of like real trouble, but like, so it's like, I don't know, a year for me would be easy, but at this, but the pressure though of like, what does it mean if he gets a speeding ticket? Is he over? Is it over? Or like,
it's like you don't want to do something until someone tells you you can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, now you want to do it.
Like you can't get in any trouble this year. Like I usually don't, but oh my God, what if I do this year? Now what?
Now I'm tempted. Like, holy shit. So I thought it was kind of sweet when Rob kind of interjected and was like, hey, you got this, man. It's like, I don't know. It was like, it was a little out of character, but like it felt genuine too, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was kind of nice. It was kind of nice to hear from someone like Rob, you know?
Yeah.
Well, from anybody, but, you know, I just didn't expect it from him, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
No. Sam had an affair early on in his and Citra's relationship.
Yes.
Citra knew about it, but allegedly she didn't know they went all the way. He says, oh, I definitely told you.
Yeah. She says, no, you didn't.
I believe her.
Yeah, I believe her because I'll tell you, as a woman, you don't forget that. If a guy tells you, "Hey, I cheated on you," you do not forget that.
I don't know. Their versions of the stories are so different. It's hard to be like, it's a lost in translation.
Yeah,
because
he made up some story about how, oh, he was gonna sleep with her, but then something was weird about her.
He saw a naked woman and he ran away.
Yeah, he was like, never mind. And it's like, Citra wouldn't come up with that idea. If it was made up, like, you know, like she wouldn't make that up. It would be, oh, she texted me and like, I don't know. It's just a really weird detail to add.
Yeah.
If like she kind of made it up herself or misunderstood. Like, how does he tell her, you know, oh, you know, we fooled around, but then I went home, and but she remembers it as, you know, it's just weird.
I don't know. It wasn't adding up to me. Yeah. Like, you know, she's like, oh, they just fooled around, and he got scared and ran, left. And then his is like, oh no, I fucked her. Like,
yeah.
How?
Yeah.
Where are we getting lost here? I don't buy it. I don't buy it. And she's like, and I didn't like that he just kept saying, oh, you just forgot. Like, okay, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's like I don't recall, you know, like how people get up on the stand and, oh, I don't recall. It's like, yeah, you do.
Yeah, right. I plead the fifth. You know?
Right, okay. Yeah, like, okay.
And it's like, but Citrus didn't even really seem fazed by it. But I guess it's just because things are going so well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's a double-edged sword. Like, that seems like a healthy way to think of it, but...
Like, I guess if it was so long ago... And you've been together, you know, flawlessly, as far as you know, since.
Yeah.
But it's like, I wonder if, like, I don't know, maybe that's the key there. But I wonder if, like, because I've thought about that in, like, in relationships. Like, what if I were to marry this guy and then I found out, like, 5 years into the marriage that, like, a month before we got married, he cheated on me. Like,
yeah.
If I knew about it then in real time, I wouldn't have married the guy.
Probably
but
not.
Now that I've been married for 5 years... Would I divorce him over that?
You know, you're so far in at that point. Like, financially, it'd be really hard to separate yourself at that point. You know what I mean?
Or even if it was just, like, a relation, like this. Like, if I dated you for 5 years and you told me, or somehow I found out 5 years in, that you cheated on me in the first month, like, if I knew you cheated on me in the first month, I wouldn't have continued dating you.
No.
But now that 4 years and 11 months went by, and they've been good as far as I know, like, I don't know.
It sounds like... You know, when he did that, they really weren't officially a thing. She was just some girl he was flirting with online. She's in Indonesia. Never even saw her face to face yet.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's okay what he did, but it seems like if you're going to give anybody sort of a, and it hasn't happened since,
right,
as far as we know.
Yeah.
If you're going to give anybody sort of a pass, I think that this is a situation where you can be like, okay, don't do it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But. I don't know. And it's like, you can't, at the same time, like, you can't keep dogging people about stuff like that, because eventually they're just going to be like, if you're just constantly on their ass about them cheating or accusing them of cheating, eventually they're just going to be sick of it and be like, I'm just going to get out of the situation and leave.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be like, you know what? Either way, I'm getting punished. I may as well do what you're accusing me of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sounds weird, but people do think that way.
That's what, like, in the past, I was in a relationship long, long time ago where, like, the guy was cheating, the military dude.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, I ended up forgiving him, and from the first time that I knew about it anyway. And then, like, you know, people, like, somebody else had asked me, basically, like, how did you stay with the person after you found out they cheated? And what I told them, because they were found themselves in the same situation as me, and they were just trying to decide what to do. And I told them, I'm like, if you are not going to be able to forgive them and move forward without throwing it in their face all the time, then you can give it a shot. But it's not going to work out for you if you're going to stay and, quote, try again, and you're going to keep throwing it in their face. Like, if you want to move forward, you have to leave that behind. Talk about it all you want in one kind of, you know, time frame, but then you got to let it, once you make the decision to move forward, you got to let it go. You got to leave it. Because if you drag it along with you, you're not going to get anywhere, and you guys are going to end up breaking up anyway.
Yeah, you're dead in the water.
Yeah,
is all it is, you know. Yeah. So I don't know. So I think they're going to be fine. How about Clayton and Natalie?
They were kind of boring.
They were very boring.
Yeah, very boring.
They aren't living. Mom's not in their closet anymore. They moved to some other place.
Oklahoma, I think.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that a song? Okay.
I mean, there isn't. Yeah, there are some Oklahoma songs.
Isn't that
it's a musical.
It's a musical, like Annie Get Your Gun or some shit.
I don't know.
Something.
But, yeah.
They got their own place, and things in the bedroom are better.
Yeah, but don't worry. Mom is living nearby in her own place. Nearby,
thank God.
Yeah.
But they're talking about, like, banging twice a week. They're like the fucking Rolling Stones over here. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So. Oh, and this is when we start talking about scary Latin American parents.
Yes.
And that's why she didn't want to tell Annalie's dad. Annalie didn't want to tell her dad about the... You're getting married and everything. And dad did not want to take part in the tell-all.
No, and he wants her to come home.
And he just said, like, just come to your senses. Come
home. Yeah, so he's still not even, like, okay about it. Like,
No.
Nothing about him thinks it's a good idea.
He thinks this is a mistake. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I would love to hear, does he know how long they actually have been together?
Right. Was there any additional conversation after that abruptly ended right. Skype call?
Because if he only saw the Skype call, then in his mind, he's probably thinking, oh, she just immediately ran to America and found the first dude and married him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really what happened.
Right.
So maybe, you know, he may not know the situation, too, though.
That's true. That's a good point.
Who knows? I don't know.
I get Anna Lee, if she's saying that, like, oh, you know, it was going to be super scary to tell my dad and he would have talked me out of it. Like, okay. But it's also like, I don't know. I mean, not everybody's as good at, like, sticking to their guns and whatever, ignoring mom and dad or whatever, yeah. You know, living your own life, right? But it's like, I mean, I don't know. Like, there should be a point where she should have weighed, like, is it going to be worse if I tell him now or worse when I move there under a lie and marry the guy and I'm like, hey, I actually didn't move to America to work. I moved here for this guy and we're married and I didn't invite you. Surprise.
Right.
Like, come on. Because that's hurtful, man.
That takes it a little too far.
Yeah. Unless you have a really crap relationship with your parent where, like, you don't care about, you don't want them at their wedding because they suck or whatever. Like, that's hurtful. I mean, that's hurtful. You're so close to your dad. And, like, but you didn't even tell him about the wedding. Like, that's got to feel really like a huge betrayal to him.
Yeah, and mom knew.
Yeah.
You know, dad's got to be a little bit, even if, I don't know if her parents are together still,
mm-hmm.
but even if they aren't, it's got to hurt a little bit to be like, you told your mom, you didn't even tell me.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. They brought Brandy out. I kind of love Brandy, but probably for the wrong reasons. I love Brandy because she looks like she knows how to party.
Yeah.
She looks like she's a mess, man. and she just is not afraid to kind of stir the pot.
Yeah.
And I kind of love that, you know?
I also love about her that she has this, like, energy about her where you can't really get to her. You know, like, if you try to, like, they try to poke at her, whatever, try to rattle her, try to, like, you know, and where a lot of people might have more of an emotional response, she just kind of shrugs, like, yeah, like, this is how I feel and what I think, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. She's very matter of fact.
Like, you know, like, there's some people, like, you're trying to talk to them, or, like, not that you're trying to break them, but you're trying, like, I imagine if you're fighting with someone, right, and you're upset about something, and they're just looking at you like, yeah, and? Yeah. And it kind of gets you almost more upset, because, like, you're not responding like you should. You're not responding empathetically, you're not saying, you know,
and
she's
you feel
just
kind of like a shithead.
Yeah.
Like,
and she's just sitting there, like, stone face, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of love that of, because people do try to, like, in life, try to, like, break you or try to, like, you know, sway you or whatever.
Sometimes,
or, you know, and it's like, and she's just got this personality where, like, nah, you're not going to break me.
No.
Like,
she's
I am who I am.
She's been through it, man.
Yeah.
You can tell. She's been through it.
Yep.
You know? You can't get to her. Yep. The other side of that coin, have you ever used, like, self-deprecating humor and someone laughs a little too hard and it hurts your feelings?
Probably. But
that happens to me quite a bit. Anna Lee never posts things on social media, like, with Clayton. So she's kind of like, what's that Turkish dude and his brainwashed
what was his
girl?
Name? Sapphire? Sarper.
Saffron?
Sarper.
Sarper. And Shekinah. Shekinah. Shekinah?
Yeah. He says Shekinah, but I think it's Shekinah.
Okay. Yeah.
You guys
you're
know
right.
What we're
you're
talking
right.
About.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like, oh, you don't post me. And da, da, da.
Yeah. But I mean, to be fair, like, to Brandy's point, it's 2024, Clayton and Annalie's generation and younger use social media.
Yeah.
That is, if you have social media, it is the norm to post. And you don't have to obsessively post a daily pic of you and your person, but change your status. Because it's for your highlight reel. Why is your relationship not a part of your highlight? You know what I mean?
Like,
so it is weird. It is a red flag in our society with their age group. If you're just omitting that portion of your life.
Especially since if she's on social media and she is posting, like she is using it.
Right.
But she's just not talking about Clayton. That is, that's weird.
Like,
that's
I mean, if you barely use it, if you just kind of have it and you know, you've got a profile picture from 8 years ago and it's whatever.
I know people that have Facebook, they just browse.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
And, like, that's one thing. But, I mean, if you're posting, you know, your the dinner you had last night and, you know, like, every 4 days you got a post, but they're never of me. Like, that's why are you sharing everything else about your life but me?
Right. And you know what? The way they were sitting on the couch was kind of weird. I caught that too. Brain brought it up, and I that did occur to me that it was like they're just two pals.
Yeah. It does feel like chemistry-less.
Right.
I don't know. It feels weird.
Yeah. You know what was really, really funny though? When they showed the like footage from the party bus and the stripper, and he's like flinging his dick in her face and everything.
Yeah.
Annalise started talking really fast.
Yeah. Like, yep.
Because she talked like kind of a normal rate, you know, not, you know, whatever, but she started really talking fast. And it's like, oh boy, someone struck a nerve, huh?
Yeah.
So, and then Clayton thinks that Brandy intentionally hired the stripper to like meddle in his relationship. It's kind of, I'm not getting that. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think that Brandy is particularly upset that it caused problems with them, but I don't think she did it to cause problems with them.
I don't think so. I think she probably knew it was going. Yeah. She probably knew it was going to cause a problem. She just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, he's a grown man. He should get over it.
Yeah. Like it's a bachelorette party. There's going to be a stripper. You know, tough shit. Which is fair.
That's kind of a good point. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. And I don't know. He thinks that she doesn't want him to have a happy relationship, and I don't buy that at all.
Yeah.
I think she loves her brother and everything, but she sees a lot of bullshit, and it's like she's not going to lie about the bullshit.
Yeah. And she's being protective, and I mean, it is kind of a. I don't like I guess expected in this kind of situation, like K-1 visa, like, you know, it's always the question everybody gets asked, right? Are you here for a green card? And I mean, she didn't tell her family about him. She kept it very secretive of why she's coming here.
Yeah.
It doesn't post him. And, you know, and like she wasn't having sex with him for a long time. And there are a lot of little red flags that I don't blame Brandy for being like, are you here for the right reasons?
Right.
And so I think she's just being that protective sister with the stereotypical cliche fears of a foreigner moving here.
Right. And you know, I don't, you know, asking someone in that situation, like, are you here for the right reasons? I don't think that inherently, like, it's kind of a shitty thing to do, but I don't think it's as that bad if you accept their answer.
Yeah.
Until they prove you otherwise.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, but to be like, well, I don't, you know, they give you a perfectly logical response and you're just, well, I don't believe it anyway. Like, that's where it's kind of, okay, fuck you. You know?
Yeah.
And Sam actually made an interesting kind of suggestion that he thought maybe Brandy was testing the relationship to see if it's real. And it's like, you know, family members do, people will do that sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, like do shit to see, you kind of push the boundaries in your relationship because they don't think it's healthy or whatever, or they have some kind of issue.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, don't fucking make me break up because you're weird about my relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, stay out of it.
Agree.
You know. How about Devin and Nick?
I forgot about them until, well, I saw them, and then also until you said something about them just now, so.
Nick got a working visa in only 6 months.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yep.
So, he's not in Searcy anymore. He's in Atlanta. He likes it a lot more than Searcy.
Yep.
Hard to imagine. And they're both, like, glad to have a break from each other.
Which, that's a little weird that quick.
I mean, having a break and feeling good about it, if you've been together for like 10, 15 years, yeah, I get it. Like, man, just taking a walk on your own for is great. But if you've only been married for like not even quite a year.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
And Devin did lose a lot of weight. And I'm wondering if her wanting to or enjoying a break from him is her wanting to enjoy not being called a piggy all the time.
Maybe. I'm so sick of this fucking piggy, oh, it's just my culture shit.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't keep using that excuse because you were told very early on in America, it's an insult.
Yeah.
And so the oh, it's my culture, that argument goes out the window.
And
that's done.
Who was it there that actually said that? I think it may have been Ashley. Like if he had said to her, hey, doing X thing is insulting or inappropriate to my culture or offends me, please don't do it.
Right.
She would have stopped.
She would have
stopped. Her multiple times, her parents multiple times, stop calling her piggy. It's an insult and it means you're fat.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hee hee ha ha, but it's funny. Hee hee ha ha.
See,
like,
he's
what?
Just being a disrespectful
shithead.
That's what that is.
Like, I don't care what the word is. Like, I don't even know. Like in the summertime, I get freckles. Like, I don't care that I have freckles. I like that I get freckles. I'm not bothered or insecure. But if you start calling me freckle face all the time, I won't like that. And if I'm like, stop calling me freckle face.
Right.
And if you keep doing it, you're disrespecting me because I'm telling you what hurts me. And you're like, fuck you. Haha, freckle face.
Right.
Like,
yeah, well, get over it. I mean, he's basically saying get over it.
Yeah. I'm going to call you fat forever. Get over it. Like, you know.
You know, and at the same time, it's like, if you, he likes to act that like, oh, Americans just don't have like a sense of humor. That's kind of his implication.
Yeah.
Like, dude, if I went to Korea and walked into a Korean family's home and didn't take my shoes off, and then, you know, immediately they'd be like, dude, you know, you got to take, over here, we take our shoes off when we go in the house. And if I'm just like, well, in my culture, we don't do that, so I'm going to leave my shoes on.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be a piece of shit for doing that.
Yeah.
You just said that's just disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And fucking, what's her face? Devin's dad was actually very, very patient.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dudes that you disrespected your daughter in my home in front of me. I'm like, I'm gonna fucking knock your teeth out, dude.
Yeah. And then that just reminded me of when they were in Korea. And they met Nick's parents. Nick gave her kind of like a little quick list of rules. Like, what did he say? Like, don't look my mom in the eye.
Yeah.
Don't cry. It's rude if you stare. So like cultural things like to mm-hmm. not do. And then everybody's telling him culturally in America, if you call people piggy, you're calling them fat. It's an insult. Don't do it. And he refuses to give up.
It's a joke.
And it made me really mad when like, whatever it is, somebody forces him to, like, apologize. He's like, I'm sorry for calling you piggy. I'll never do it again. And he's like, psych. Like, that made me so mad. Like, dude, what's so wrong and hard for you to stop doing that?
See, maybe he might have some narcissistic shit going on, too. Cause
I think he's just immature, man.
It's immaturity. It's disrespect.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, you can't tell me what to do type shit.
Yeah.
And it's like 99% of Koreans that would come to America, if they did something like kind of insulting and someone told them, like, hey, you know, over here, that's really inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of them would say, oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And wouldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. Not laugh and say, oh, haha, too bad. No. It's funny.
This is a Nick problem. This is not like a cultural Korean problem. This is a Nick problem.
It reminds me of like kids, when like kids do something wrong and like you know, you scold them or you tell them don't do that, and then they kind of like giggle and laugh at you and they keep doing it, and mm-hmm. it's just funny to them that they're getting this reaction from you,
right?
That, and that's like immaturity. That's what that reminded me of with Nick, of like, he thinks it's funny that he's rattled everybody and got them all upset, and
pretty much
because it's no big deal and we're silly for being upset about it. And it's just like, dude, find another name to call her. Beautiful. Try, I don't know, something that's not fat.
Maybe something outside of the fat thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. But I know people who are really, really, really narcissistic, and when they think it's a joke and you should just not be okay with it because it's a joke.
Yeah.
Like, it that remind me of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Who knows? You need a whole team of people to fucking analyze Nick. So,
right.
Well, that just about does it for this season of Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Please join us next time. We're going to talk about the Happily Ever After, isn't it?
Happily Ever After starting in a couple weeks. Maybe 1 week, I don't know.
On Max, they already changed like the icon for it. And we see Thalina girl. I can't think of her name.
Oh, Emily.
Emily.
I'm excited for Emily and Kobe to be back. And mostly Emily's mom, I'm excited to see.
Emily's mom was kind of hot.
She had very nice hair. And the dad. I want to see how the dad's doing. Remember, like, that scene of he just, like, basically is just, like shutting down, like, I'm never going to get rid of them kind of moment.
Yeah, I know.
I want to check in with him and see how that's, if there's still living with
him. When you found out there's another kid coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, poor dad. He's never retiring.
Yeah, I want to see it. That's what it was. I'm never going to retire. Or it was something like that. And, I want to see if they're still living with him and how that's going for him.
Yeah, he can take a walk and I'll bang his wife. That'll make everything okay.
Oh, my God. And then we're going to have Jasmine and Gino back again.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens with who's a short-haired chick and the guy from Egypt.
Mega Man helmet hair.
Yeah.
Mahmoud and Nicole?
Nicole, yeah.
Nicole and Mahmoud.
We'll see if they're actually going to be on the show after Mahmoud's DV arrest.
That will be interesting to see.
Yeah. And also, Angela and Michael were supposed to be on it. But again, I'm not sure if they'll be on it because of, like, that weird, like, Michael escaped and from her,
she,
or whatever.
Like, being held captive in her home or some shit?
It was something like he left and then she went live and said, he's missing. Oh, my God, he's missing. And then, like, Michael came out with, like, a burner phone. Was like, I'm not missing. I ran for my life. It was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't see the footage, but I was hearing some weird shit. Like, he was... It made it sound like he was being held captive.
Yeah, and then quickly after that, I think it's Rob and Sophie, and then another couple, I can't remember which one, quickly got added like right after that. So I don't know if
maybe
it's
to dropping them.
Replace or...
See, TLC, you're messing up. You got to keep those dumpster fires on there. So
yeah.
You know, they're just too quick to like any sort of controversy, oh, get rid of him, get rid of him. It's like, no, no, dude, we want to see the bullshit. Yeah. Leave it on there.
We want to know how this ends.
Yeah, show how they navigate through this dumb shit. Yeah.
Like, of course, I mean, even, I was going to say even to a point, but it's like, if like Mahmoud and Nicole, like, okay, he got arrested for domestic violence. Like, how does it, I want to know how that plays out. Like, does she, you know, what's the circumstances? Does she get justice? Does he, you know, I mean, like, what happens?
Yeah.
Like, what's the consequences that, like, play out for doing this kind of shit to someone? You know what I mean?
Right. Like, here's an opportunity
but
to show, like, the DM, like, people who go through the same thing that maybe she's going through. Like, this is how you get out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, but I mean, of course, there's a level where you don't want to be, like, paying people, you know, for being on the show and doing shit like that. So, it's gotta be
I know. Don't give them a platform.
Yeah. It's hard. Hard line.
It's a hard line. But I don't really mind that, like, all publicity is good publicity. I don't buy that.
Yeah.
Because not all publicity is good publicity.
I agree. And it's just, yeah, I just don't want to have to, like scrub the internet to find out what happened. You know,
it's bullshit. It's whatever. It's annoying. If they're going to drop them now and not, like, mid-season like they did with that Russian girl and the weird mystic dude.
Yeah. Or, you know, they could just wait until, like, I don't know. They could just say, hey, new season of Happily Ever After coming X date, and, like, not mention what couples until, like, I don't know, air the show. And then we'll, like, okay.
Yeah.
That way, if you got to remove anybody because they get in some kind of legal trouble right before, you know, nobody knows.
It could be a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprise.
All right. Just about to say goodbye.